Welcome to Three from the Seven, Relix's weekly news podcast chronicling three of our biggest news stories from the past 7 days. I am the Relix associate editor, Raf Kenny Sincotta, and I am joined, as always, by my dear, dear friend. You might have seen her on stage. You might have heard her on this podcast previously. You might have seen some of her beautiful artwork that I actually have framed on my wall right now. She's a jack of all trades. She's Karina Reichman. Hey, Karina.
Hey, what's happening, Raph? Wow, fucking, you have my artwork framed on your wall. I forgot. That's so kind. That's too kind.
Yeah, I actually have a couple of your things. Here in beautiful San Francisco at my boyfriend's home, he has one of your hot air balloons framed on the wall. And then back in New York, I actually have a poster that we kind of collabed on / I worked on for your Brooklyn Bowl headlining show, which is, I guess,
was good.
Yeah, not necessarily your artwork, but artwork about you.
Well, I'll take whatever I can get and fucking bless your heart. Thank you so much for keeping the dream alive. Raf, you know, I actually had somebody commission a huge oil painting of you that I'm going to put above my bed.
Very regal.
Yeah, you look awesome, and I'll keep you posted on when we hang that guy, because it's gonna be pretty epic.
Awesome. I did have to sit for that portrait, and it took a very long time, just hours and hours of me holding a goblet of wine with a hunting dog at my feet, but I'm excited to see how the picture comes out.
It's a beautiful thing. Thank you for taking the time.
Absolutely. So how are you, my friend? How are things in New York? I know you had an awesome merch drop that must have been successful because it was absolutely dope. So give me a little update on Karina before we jump in the news.
Thank you. Yes, merch drop, pseudo dudo collaboration. So psyched on them. I have t-shirts and crew necks, and you're totally right. You know, and I say this with the utmost humility and gratitude, but they have been flying off the proverbial shelves. And when I say that, I mean, literally, you should see my room. It is full of cardboard boxes and fulfillment, you know, materials, if you will. So I'm just like printing out shipping labels and putting them on the thing. Everybody gets a handwritten note. You got to see what size they got. Did they get, you know, more than one item, et cetera, et cetera. It is my deepest pleasure to get to fulfill every merch order myself. And I'm super excited about that. That has been a nice portion of the week for sure. I've been in the studio a bunch. And tomorrow, which is theoretically today, if you're listening, because this podcast comes out on Wednesday, but we recorded on a Tuesday. You see how that works, people? You see how that works? Mm-hmm. I'm going to drop this right here because, like, come on. I'm announcing a tour. Announcing a tour at Wednesday, aka today, at noon. So if you're listening before noon, get ready, and I'm going to drop that hot goss for you. We're playing Philly, Richmond, Virginia, Greensboro, North Carolina, Asheville, wow, some other places. That Suwannee Festival. A lot of good stuff is coming. And Charleston. We're playing the Charleston Poorhouse. I should really look up the actual tour dates to be able to, like, say them, you know? That would be great. Okay, check it out. Ladies and gentlemen, 5/14, that is May 14th, Philly. 5/15, Richmond. 5/16, Charlotte, North Carolina. 5/18, Asheville, North Carolina. 5/19, Greensboro, North Carolina. A lot of NC love. I do love that state. It's beautiful. 5/21, Resonate Suwannee Festival down in the beautiful Spirit of Suwannee Park, which is a phenomenal place that I'm excited to be back at. And then we tie a nice little bow on it with a Saturday night headlining performance at the Charleston Poorhouse. And for those who know, they know. That place really rages. So anyway, I'm super, super excited about all this. I have Nate Duvall, who's one of my favorite poster artists of all time, making the art for it, which I've yet to see. It's like, you know, he's going to get that to me by the end of the day. And hopefully we just, you know, all go smooth and we announce it at, you know, noon tomorrow, aka today. And we're feeling good about the whole thing. So if I'm blowing this and we for some reason need to, you know, push the announce, consider yourself announced. Thanks, everybody.
Inside track. Well, awesome.
Inside track.
Very exciting that Karina's hitting the road. And it seems like a lot of bands are hitting the road this year and this spring. And that kind of leads us perfectly into our first story of the week, that Widespread Panic has scheduled more 2021 tour dates, including 5 nights at Karina's beloved Beacon Theater. This is extremely good news for spreadheads across the country. In addition to previously announced stops in Austin, Texas, Napa, California, and Chicago, it looks like Widespread is going to make the stop at the Beacon in September, as well as they're going to make a Milwaukee stop in October, and they're going to hit the Fox Theater in Atlanta for a New Year's run. This is an announcement that got me really excited as a Widespread fan, and I think it gave a lot of people excitement because it just seems like a return to form. Like, Panic playing Atlanta for New Year's is really exciting, not to mention a repeat of the Beacon Theater run, which was one of the few runs of 2020, actually. Early 2020, Panic was able to play 5 shows at the Beacon before the world ended. So, Karina, you as a fellow spreadhead yourself, how many of these Beacon shows are you trying to hit?
Oh, all of them. Definitely. I mean, if I'm not playing, I'll be at every single night. I mean, God willing, you know, this is... I really like this because just pre-pandemic, right? Like, literally, like, the weekend of whatever that was, like, February... you know, whatever it was, 26th through like March, you know, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, whatever it was, like that was Beacon Panic right there. Yankee Panic, if you will. And I remember you were having a great time. I was having a great time. It was a really special run of shows just before the world ended. So there's something very cathartic and beautiful about the idea of returning to the Beacon to see Panic, like, which is already such a treat to experience, a year ago. So I'm really, really hyped on this. And Milwaukee, as they say.
Yeah, those shows are always really fire. And Milwaukee's got some great energy. It makes me think of that line from Wayne's World. I don't know if you're big into Wayne's World as I am, but it's like Alice Cooper in Wayne's World, and he's talking about Milwaukee. And it's just like, as the Native Americans called it, Milwaukee, which means the good land.
Yes.
So, Widespread are heading back to the good land, a.k.a. Milwaukee, which will be at the Riverside Theater from October 21 through 24. And that 5-night Beacon run is looking like September 16 through 20. I definitely want to hit the Beacon. I'm actually eyeing those Napa Valley shows because, Karina, I've mentioned this to you before, but your girl's getting into wine. I occasionally pick up strange hobbies. I was really into wrestling once upon a time early in this podcast, which I've completely fallen off of. But now I'm reading and watching a lot of documentaries about wine, obviously being near a wine country right now in San Francisco. So Widespread Panic in Napa Valley sounds like an amazing way to celebrate my birthday, which is a few days before that. That Napa Valley run, I think, is late August. It's like August like 27, 28, 29, I believe. And my birthday is the 24th. So who knows? Maybe I'll be sipping wine in Napa Valley with some Widespread, and then I'll jump on a plane, obviously hopefully fully vaxxed by then, jump on a plane and then hit 5 nights at the Beacon getting down and dirty. It really sounds like the best of both worlds to me.
From wrestling to wine, the Rafaela Kenny Sincotta story. That's amazing. I didn't realize you fell off the map with your wrestling stuff. We really, you know, we need to keep better apprised of each other's strange hobbies. So, yeah. Wow. Thanks for not telling me until right now.
Well, to quote Panic, we're all looking for hope in a hopeless world. So,
amen.
Yeah, wine's the new thing. Who knows what the next thing will be? But very excited about this Panic run. Always into Panic. That one's never gonna go away. So excited about it. And then, actually, to kind of throw even more fire into the rumor mill, I know, people are using these Panic dates as kind of a barometer of like, well, if Widespread can play the Beacon for 5 nights in September, like Phish can go on summer tour, or Phish can go on fall tour, or Dead & Company can do something, whatever. So I'm curious, like, will these shows actually happen? Widespread's already punted dates like several times. That Austin run in particular has been rescheduled, I want to say 4 times. So we'll see. I mean, Karina, you know better than anyone that, you know, I guess it's kind of a game of like, do you keep your calendar clear and just wait or play the waiting game? Or do you kind of do this thing of like announce, reschedule, announce, reschedule, announce, reschedule? Because things are still very up in the air with the corona, as they say.
Certainly, certainly. Well, I think you sell a fraction of the tickets to begin with, and then when things become more clear, God willing, which, you know, hopefully they will, you can expand and see what happens. It's anybody's guess. I really hope they happen, and I really hope that the normalcy, if you will, starts creeping back in, and we can have things like a 5-night widespread panic run again. That would be really an excellent thing. So fingers crossed. I'm no scientist, I'm no barometer of these things, but let's see. I think it's getting there. It's not great, but it's getting there, and hopefully by then it'll be somewhere near a plausible thing. So let's see. That's all.
No, yeah, there's definitely going to be some hiccups along the way, which is kind of a transition into our second story of the week. You mentioned that you're going to play Sewanee soon. This past weekend, they had the Sewanee Rising Festival. You had Umphrey's Lettuce Goose, a bunch of bands playing down at the Spirit of Sewanee Music Park. Mysteriously, though, for Umphrey's McGee's Saturday night set, drummer Chris Myers was not present, and Umphrey's just kind of announced right before the show that Chris wouldn't be there. They had some special guests come in. They had Ben from Umphrey's. They had Adam Deitch from Lettuce sit in. Jake Sininger even stepped behind the kit. So they kind of did this cool percussion thing, but everyone was kind of scratching their head being like, why wasn't Chris there? Why did, you know, they have this random percussion slot open right before the gig? And then they announced on like Sunday or Monday that indeed Chris Myers from Umphrey's did get coronavirus and he was not able to perform. So definitely, as we mentioned, hiccups along the way. Chris said, quote, I had to miss Saturday's show due to a recent positive COVID test despite taking all precautions. It serves as a reminder that this virus is extremely contagious and needs to be taken seriously. I encourage everyone to continue getting tested and vaccinated. So yeah, I mean, would I run to Sewanee right now and go to a festival? I'm not so sure, given the fact that the people on stage are even kind of tangoing with this thing still. But from what I gathered, that festival was fairly safe. I had some friends down there who had a great time. But yeah, I don't know, Karina, what's your take on all this? I mean, a little freaky deaky, right? Like, you know, the fact that, you know, the people you'd think are the most protected from coronavirus, aka the performers themselves, even had a little dance with this thing.
Oh, certainly. And, you know, it's par for the course. Unfortunately, like we're going to be dealing with things like this. This is, a very incisive, mysterious in some ways. And just like, you know, it's a virus that knows no bounds, unfortunately. So it can happen to anybody. It can happen to the safest among us and the least safe among us. And, it's just part of it. I don't know. I'm just glad that they had so many drummer pals to come and fill the void. But that must have been, I can only imagine what was going on behind the scenes in Team Umphrey's. And I don't envy having to deal with that. That's just a stress level of the highest proportion, right? You get it, like, you know, you're going down playing a festival, but then you're like, uh-oh, actually, guys, drummer won't be there. Yeah. Why? Oh, he tested positive. Oh, what? Oh, shit. You know, like, it's a shame. And obviously, I'm, you know, just mostly hoping for his speedy recovery and that he has a mild case, as many are. And, you know, they recalibrate for next time. I don't know. It's just it's a matter of what we're dealing with right now in the world. And I think you're going to see a lot of that coming around, unfortunately, and just trying to navigate the waters as best as possible while still, you know, having a bit of the infrastructure of the business of live music and like whatever come back. And I'm so glad that they could have a festival down there. And, you know, it seemed, I had friends down there too, and they seemed to say it was, you know, run efficiently and safely and whatnot. But of course, it's scary. It's definitely scary. It's, you know, it's not easy, any of this. This is tough stuff.
So if you were there, Karina, and like the guys from Umphrey's were just like, all right, like Chris can't play, we need a drummer. Karina, get on stage with us, play drums. Would you do it? You have a drum kit in your studio. You hit the skins every once in a while.
I'd be able to pull it off. I mean, I'd be able to pull it off at 0%. But like if you were looking for just like a lark, you know, or whatever, like I could hang for like 4 minutes of like a very simple beat. Yeah. And then I would be like completely out of time and they'd have to be like, Karina, get out of here. And I'd say goodbye. So, and that's how that would go.
Would you rather do kit or like a Sonny Ortiz widespread panic kind of conga thing? Or would you rather do like like a xylophone or
no
a
steel drum? No. I'd want to be behind the kit. I would want to be behind the kit. And I would do my traditional, four on the floor, 16th note hi-hats, just rage fest. And then they would be like, oh, okay, that's a beat. Okay. And then I'd be able to hold it together for like 4.5 minutes. And then I'd be completely out of time. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, Deitch, help. And then I'd hand it over. But I would totally do it for a good 4 minutes. It'd be great. It's a lark. I'm a huge fan. I love playing drums. I do love playing drums. All bullshit aside. Like, I really do. I'm not good. But I think every kid should learn how to play drums first if they're going for shit. Like if they want to play music, like drums, you should have a little bit of time on the drums, because whatever instrument that you play, you need rhythm. You need to understand all this shit. So like drums are an important instrument. They're kind of my favorite. Like, God, I love drumming. Love drummers. Love percussion. Yeah, I'm in. I'm all in.
And it's funny that like there's not that much respect for drummers in the long run, though, don't you think, Karina? Like, they have all those jokes of like, what do you call a guy who hangs out with musicians and it's like a drummer?
They don't get the respect that they deserve. None of us do.
Just like Karina's full Rodney Dangerfield, just like, I get no respect. No respect at all.
I get no respect around here. Hey, no respect. No, I mean, shit. I mean, I think I mean, give the drummer some. That's the line, right? It's like, yeah, I'll give the drummer some. And then they just fucking go crazy and it's beautiful. I love it. I think drummers, hug a drummer. Ladies and gentlemen, go find a drummer friend. Tell them you love them. They have the hardest load in for the most part too. And like, have you ever carried drum hardware? It's a nightmare. Terrible. Ugh.
That sounds awful. Like, I feel it's like really bad. It's fairly easy. I even feel bad for like keyboardists. Like, one time I saw right before the pandemic, I saw Ghost Light at the Brooklyn Bowl. Shout out to Ghost Light, amazing band. And Ms. Holly Bowling, I saw her loading up all of her keyboards and shit, and it looked so heavy. And I was just like, oh, that looks awful. Like, I was just
rough too.
Waiting for the post show, hanging around the bowl, and like, was gonna go say hi. And Holly was just like lugging like the 60-pound keyboard, and I'm just like, no, she seems busy. I'll let her do her thing.
That's very funny. Yeah, no, I mean, that's intense. Yeah, keyboards and drums. I'm not envious of that. Not envious. But it is great when you have a nice fat 8x10 SVT backlined for you at a festival. That's like the big refrigerator bass amp that like you would never tour with if you were just little old me with no room for it. But like when it's there, you're delighted. That's great. Anyway, one day.
There you go. Any venues are listening, that's what Karina requires. She wants her hummus peeled and lidded. She wants a cold coconut water, maybe some tequila, and whatever that amp was on the back line.
That is right. Read the production writer. Read the book.
Are you being your own TM for this tour coming up, Karina? I know that's a thing you usually do.
That is a great question, Raph. Actually, I am, though. I'm bringing an LD, Jeff Volkhausen. I'm bringing a front of house engineer, Zach Rosenberg. So I said to Zach, because it's a typical thing for, people to do like FOH, like front of house and TM duties, right? And I said, I'm a bit of a control freak. Like, I will be advancing everything and basically like my own TM. But, that doesn't mean that like if I'm passed out for 6 hours in the van and you need to dig into an email for the day of show contact and call them, let them know we're here, like you can do that, right? And he's like, oh, of course. I'm like, great, perfect. Then we're in agreement. So yeah, that's
so you're the
I
TM,
am,
but only when you're awake, when you're asleep.
Well, yeah, if I,
over.
I'm definitely allowed to be passed out during the day in the van. So that's my caveat. Otherwise, I'm on it, baby. I'm on it. I settle every show. I deal with the merch seller. I hummus peeled, lidded upon arrival, refrigerated. Oh God, it's hilarious. Yes, no, I like it. I like being a control freak. I'm a little, it's obviously, you don't see a lot of artists. Asking to do that, but like I'm a fan. I love it. I mean by asking I mean just being like self-sufficient in that way. But I don't know, I like booking the hotel rooms, I like dealing with the venue, I like knowing what's going on. It's gonna be great. I can't wait to talk to you in a year where I'm like, fuck that, I'm never doing that again.
have like one shitty night at a hotel and you're going to be like, I don't know why I missed this. This is terrible.
Like, ah, this is just terrible. Oh my God. Yeah. God, somebody else needs to do this for me. I'm just going to be asleep all day and all night, except for the 1 hour where I play. 2 hours. Anyway, good talk. Good talk. Well, I love it.
I believe that brings us to our third story of the week. We have a very special tribute to Fish's Farmhouse LP for the 20th anniversary. Our friends over at Jambase brought together the likes of Brendan Bayless, Jennifer Hartwick, Amy Helm, Sylvan Esso, Riley Walker, so many more, to create a new album called Cluster. Hold on. Clusterflies.
Woo!
Like from the lyric of Farmhouse, you know?
That is correct. That is correct.
It is a full album. It is a limited edition triple LP. You've got custom artwork and poster by the one and only Jim Pollock for all of our poster nuts out there. Pollock is absolute maven. So yeah, a lot of great people. They reimagined Farmhouse. They resequenced the tracks. There's a lot of cool stuff on here. You got Sylvan Esso covering Farmhouse. Jen Hartwick's doing Dirt. Reed Mathis is doing Bye Bye Foot. Lindsay Liu is doing Mountains of the Mist. This is super cool, Karina. I mean, you and I, both as Fish fans, definitely want to sink our teeth into something like this.
Definitely. No, I'm really excited for this. And I listened to, they put out like, you know, a single, which was Club Delph doing Sand, which was so sick and a really interesting take on it. And I'm totally stoked for this. And especially, you know, Sylvan Esso doing Farmhouse. Like I can't even hear it in my head, man. I'm so excited to hear what they cook up on that. A couple other ones I'm very excited for. Chris Forsythe does, what was it, like an 18-minute Piper?
Yeah.
Which is really sick. And Riley Walker does a super long first tube. Very exciting. I like, obviously, like, you know, this is close to my own heart because the cross section between indie bands and jam bands is something near and dear to my heart. And, you know, something I'd like to straddle both worlds in some certain whatever way someday. So I love it. And I love seeing, you know, obviously the Day of the Dead LP where a bunch of indie bands played the Dead obviously harkens back to that. And that was super cool. And I listened to the shit out of that. And I am hopeful and stoked that this will be a really awesome thing. And I think it's so cool that, you know, they're gathering together to play the Fish songbook, which is so nutty and like so different. Like when you think about the Grateful Dead songbook, you're like, oh my God, like, you know, these like, you know, beautiful American anthems on some level, you know. And then Fish, you're like, wow, yeah, Bye Bye Foot, get it, like, let's go, let's see what that's all about, you know what I mean? But obviously I'm so about it, and I'm looking forward to hear what everybody cooks up. Raph, how do you feel about it?
I think it's pretty dope. I mean, Jambase is definitely rolling out the red carpet. Every day they're going to debut new songs. Some are even going to appear on SiriusXM's Fish Radio. You can go over to clusterflies.com to get your hand on this triple LP with the cool Pollock art. It's funny because it actually makes me think of just generally Fish covers I enjoy. And I think the absolute tippy top for me is still going to be the one and only Parrot Man himself, Jimmy Buffett, covering Gumbo. If anyone hasn't heard that, it's on Spotify.
Yeah.
It is lovely. It is absolutely lovely. Island vibes. And just the fact that Jimmy Buffett even touched a Fish song, I find very funny. But yeah, super stoked for the Clusterflies. Super stoked for Jambase. We're friends with those guys over there. You know, Relics, Jambase, Live for Live Music. We are the holy trinity of jam information on the interweb. So glad to see those guys really doing some cool stuff. And I implore everyone to, you know, check them out, check us out, check out Live for Live Music, and support independent jam journalism. And then this actually kind of segues perfectly into, why don't you guys just subscribe to Relics at relics.com/subscribe. We got Bob Weir on the cover. We got another really great cover we're about to announce. You know, if you like to hear about the jams, you got to support the people who write about the jams. Do you agree, Karina?
I couldn't agree more.
Well, Karina, I believe this comes to the end of our road. I've already told them to subscribe to Relics. I think they should follow us on Instagram as well at 3 from the 7. That's the number 3 and the number 7 in the beginning and end there. You can email us at raffandkarina@gmail.com. Please email us. I'd like to do another listener mail thing, so I'm kind of combing through them and trying to get some cool stuff for us to talk about. 3 from the 7 is brought to you by Relics Media Group. Our producer is Will Schwerd. Our audio engineer is Mr. James Van Korf. James is an absolute gentleman and a scholar. He throws together all of this audio to make it sound pretty, which we appreciate. And Karina, I appreciate you, and I'm going to kind of throw you the frisbee, as I sometimes do at the end of these things, and give the people a little bit of wisdom, catch that disc, and do a little sign off.
Hey, catch that disc, baby. Well, you know, people, you know what the best part about that Jimmy Buffett cover of Gumbo is? It's when he goes, Chez Roulet is God in the dope bowl, as opposed to Chez Roulet. He's more correct, for the record. He's more correct to say Chez, but I'm a huge fan. So anyway, just that's been on my mind since you mentioned that. Otherwise, so I beg, beseech, and implore you all to pull up the tune and just dig into the Jimmy Buffett gumbo. I couldn't agree more, Raph. That is straight off the dome. You know, it punches above its pay grade. Great cover. Great cover. Everybody, I hope you are hanging in there doing well. It is sunny and about 67 degrees here in New York City. I am delighted. I'm going to go frolic down 6th Avenue, probably like close to naked, and listen to Ride the Lightning by Metallica. That's a thing I like to do. And when I say close to naked, I'm kidding. But anyway, just picture it. Just picture it. Or don't picture it too much. Don't picture it too much. She's laughing. She's laughing in the background. I live to make her laugh. Oh, I live for it. Everything I do it for Raph. Ladies and gentlemen, peace out. Be good to yourselves. Be good to others. I will talk to you next week. Raph, my oil painting. Can't wait for it, baby.